Hello, hello, and welcome to Home and Away. If you have been listening to 2023 edition of Home and Away, I'm sure by now you know what we are talking. We are talking to couples in mixed marriages where one partner is from Faroe Islands and one is an immigrant. I am Stella Segariasen and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. In the studio today we have Sanna Yaltalin Delgado from Faroe Islands and Manuel James Delgado from USA. They are going to be sharing about their lives together here in Faroe Islands, so don't go away. We'll be right back after this break.
Done me in your bed, I felt it. I tried to beat you, but you're so hot that I melted. I fell right through the cracks. Now I'm trying to get back. Before the cool done run out, I'll be giving it my bestest. And nothing's gonna stop me but divine intervention. I reckon it's again my turn to win some or learn some. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Just one big family, and it's our God-forsaken right to be loved, 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 loved. So I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm sure there's no need to complicate our time. Sure, this is our fate. I'm yours. Do 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 checking my tongue in the mirror and bending over backwards just to try to see it clearer, but my breath fogged up the glass, and so I drew a new face and I laughed. I guess what I'll be saying is there ain't no better reason to rid yourself of vanities and just go with the seasons. It's what we aim to do. Our name is our virtue. But I won't hesitate no more, no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. Well, open up your mind and see like me. Open up your plans and damn, you're free. I look into your heart and you find that the sky is yours. So please don't, please don't, please don't. There's no need here to complicate, 'cause our time is short. This, oh, this, oh, this is our fate.
Welcome back, guys. This is Home and Away, and I'm Stella Segariasen. And here in the studio with me, we have Manuel. I need to apologize. He is not an immigrant. He is an American. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Nice to have you here. And we only have 1 hour, and I know you have a lot to talk about. So why don't we start off by Manuel, if you could just tell us a bit about yourself, and then Sanna.
Yeah, no problem. Like you said, my name is Manuel James Delgado, originally from Southern California in the United States. Born in a city called Long Beach, grew up in an area called Orange County. My family now lives in Huntington Beach, surf capital of the world.
Wow.
Type stuff. So, yeah. And but I've actually been away from the States since 2005. So Yeah.
And you've been living here ever since? Or
I lived in Denmark for 11 years, and we've been living here on the Faroe Islands for about 7 years, a little over 7 years now.
Yes. And Manuel, I also want to tell you, tell the people that you are not new to radio. You are sitting on the other side now being interviewed. But tell us a bit about your radio career.
Yeah. So when I moved here, me and Sana and our family, we moved here. We were asked to work for a church. And maybe about like a year after being here, I was contacted by Linden Radio. And they brought this figure. They said, Manuel, there's approximately 2,000 non-speaking Faroese, and we would like to be able to reach them with an English show, a Christian English show. Would you like to do that? And I had never done this type of stuff before, but I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. I can remember the first few times I was like breathing really hard and speaking fast, and all my material was done in 15 minutes and I had an hour show. But yeah, so I've been doing the radio show for, oh my goodness, maybe 5 years now. I started in Linden and had a great time with them, great partnership. They treated me so well. But my wife and I got into some other type of organizational work that we're doing now, and I needed to reschedule stuff, and it fit better to switch over to Shea. So I've been with Shea for, I don't know, a year almost, something like that. And so, yeah, I have a weekly show just like you.
You do?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
An English show as well.
Yes.
And you do a great job.
Thank you very much. So do you.
Thank you. Sana, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Yes, I am Sana, and I'm 33 and born and raised here on the Faroe Islands, and I had a normal
married
childhood.
Married to Manuel,
we have four kids,
yeah.
Studying to be a teacher, and lived in Denmark for 7 years, and then came back.
Yeah, and here you are. Can you tell, how did you both meet each other? I don't know who wants to go first, but take it away.
I think Manuel needs to go first.
So if I say anything wrong, then it's my fault. I think we crossed paths a few times in Denmark, but it was, you know, just through some events and stuff like that. So nothing spectacular happened in those moments. But I was asked to come to the Faroe Islands every month to start a type of youth work at a local church in Arger, which is part of Tórshavn Kommun. And I would come out here every month, and we would do different types of events and invite the youth from all over Tórshavn, Faroe Islands sometimes. And I think I did that for about a year and a half. And she would come to some of these events. And again, just, you know, she was there because her friends were there and so on. So we would say hi to each other, but nothing substantial happened there. But I realized I had to stop coming to the Faroe Islands and focus on my work in Denmark. So it was my very last visit. And when I came to the Faroe Islands and I went up to this church called Hebron up in Arger, there was this like gorgeous girl barbecuing. Like, I mean, two things, a beautiful girl and she knows how to barbecue. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Exactly. Dream girl.
Yeah. And I don't know, I seen her before, but for some reason it just like something happened and butterflies, and I couldn't even formulate sentences. There was just something wrong with me, and I knew like, I've fallen for this girl. And I don't, yeah. So that's how we like officially first met, and I started, I guess you could say, pursuing her.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like, it's true then, a way to a man's heart is through food. So there she was, and with the food.
Yeah.
And then he realized he had 10 days to
win her over.
To win her.
Okay. So it's like not how to lose a guy in 10 days, but how to get a girl in 10 days.
That's funny.
That's true. Sana, I just want to joke, just before the program we were talking about, I wanted to ask you guys what attracted you to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you were telling you were very, very attracted from the first moment. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
No, well, like you said, we met a few times, like over some years, and I knew who he was and I knew how he was. Like, yeah. And so he was, to me, very flirtatious and stuff like that. So I did not want to be one of his flirts, you know, so I tried to stay away and yeah. But it was an intense 10 days where he kept following me around and actually tricking me into meeting him and being with him. So, yeah. So it was fun, I guess.
Yeah, it was a fun 10 days.
It worked in the end.
Thank you so much for sharing the story, because it's so much fun to listen to you guys. And we are going to take a short break. Anyway, before we go, I want to ask Manuel, of course, you told what attracted you to her, but how did you win her over then? What, you know...
How did you do that?
My clever...
You don't want to tell the secret.
No. It was just persistence. I knew that there was something there. Mm-hmm. And I knew she was a girl after Jesus' heart, which I also am. That's just the life I wanted to live. Yeah. And it just, like, I was compelled. I could not stop. I could not think about her. I was doing ministry. And at the same time, she was just running through my mind constantly. So
that's it.
Yeah.
So when we come, we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, I would like to ask you about what made you take a decision to live in Faroe Islands, because you both were living in Denmark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot to talk about when
awesome.
We come back.
Awesome.
I can feel your halo. Pray it won't.
So guys, we have a lot more to talk about. I just want to ask you, why did you take the decision to live in Faroe Islands?
Well, like you said, we lived in Denmark and we're working in a church there. And yeah, we just got this, or God told us that it's time to go to the Faroe Islands. First, I got it on my heart to move back home. And I think like 6 months later, Manuel got the same thought and feeling that, okay, this is the right moment. And then a church here contacted us and asked us to come and work for them. And so we did. Yeah.
Because we didn't know exactly when or how we were going to move here, but we just had that feeling. Mm-hmm. And then when we came here for Christmas vacation, then it all started falling into place. And we're like, oh, well, I guess we're going to be moving back here.
that's what I was going to ask you. You have four kids together. Hmm. So did you have your children in Denmark or did you have them when you moved here?
Yeah, we had the first one and the last one here on the Faroe Islands and the two in the middle in Denmark. But we still lived in Denmark when we had our first child, but we just came here to
raise them. Tell us a bit about raising a family when you are in a mixed marriage, because of course, as you know, I am in a mixed marriage. So as a mother from a different country, things are not always easy to agree on different things. So how are you doing? Tell us a bit about that, the challenges.
I think the most difficult is I want my kids to love chili. And they're like, Papa, we're never going to do chili.
No?
No, they try it every now and then. But yeah. Oh, what's different, babe? Is there anything?
Well, of course, I think every marriage has differences because there's also family culture different from each other, even though you live in the same country and you're from the same country. But I mean, there are some big things that we do differently in the States and here with raising children. Like what is allowed and what is not allowed, and yeah. But I think for us, we had some like hard times and a lot of fights and stuff in the beginning about the whole raising children. But I think communication is so important.
Just talking through things and coming to some sort of like learning how to understand each other, and then coming to a middle ground of some sort.
That's true. I'm not a marriage expert, but I mean, lots of arguments, fights, that's what makes a marriage stronger. And you guys, it's obvious.
Wow, we must be really strong then.
It's obvious because I'm going to talk to you later about, you know, you guys are always having fun together and you do things together. So it's so important and you are in agreement. I'm sure that, behind the scenes, there are a lot of talkings and a lot of communication going on. Manuel, is there anything that you found hard to adjust to in Faroe Islands as you started settling down?
Mm. Well, I mean, I think we had our culture shock more in Denmark, but it's still a Scandinavian setting. So we had a lot of that there. But nevertheless, like no matter how much experience you have, you still don't understand how much you can handle until you live there. Yeah. So it was, I think maybe the tough part is we assumed we would come here and already have a network of friends and family and whatnot. And when we came here, everyone had their own lives and stuff, because when we would visit, we could hang out with whoever we wanted and they would welcome us. So that hospitality that Faroe Islands is known for is totally true. I love the Faroese hospitality, but for me, just my opinion, I feel that it's easier to experience it when you're visiting. When you actually live here, they assume that you're taken care of and that you have your own network. And so then they subconsciously forget about you. And then you struggle with, okay, wow. Because for me, this is islands. Like I felt secluded being here, first of all, because it's the islands and small population. And then not to have such a strong network like we had in Denmark or the States for that matter. That was a shock for me. It was tough. But it's much better now and it's still getting there. But I don't think we have like the same type of friendships that we had in Denmark still. But we're getting there.
Thank you so much, because that's a very important point, and that's the reason for the whole program, to help others, because so many, now we are going to have our 100th show.
Congrats.
Soon. Thank you soon. But so many, you know, they are afraid to speak out, but after the show or in between the breaks, they have told exactly the same thing as you are sharing now. So it's very important that we are able to, you know, voice it out and tell to other people also, so that people in Faroe Islands can know what's going on in other families. And also, I don't know if you noticed that, at least for us in our case anyway, when you are out there and you are busy with different things and you have kids, people just assume that you have a lot of friends, that, that you know, like you're being taken care of. But often those are the people who are the most loneliest, you know, because you have to give, but how are you going to get back? Sanna, what are your thoughts in all this?
Yeah, I think it was almost more of a culture shock for me to come back home than for Emmanuel, because I already had a life here before I left, and I had a whole bunch of friends, like a lot of friends. It was very social and stuff. And both me, like I changed in Denmark a lot, and I had three kids and all these things. But yeah, it was super hard to come back and then not have the same friendships, or like still be friends, but kind of more of an acquaintance, you know. And I think that's the hardest part of coming back. Mm-hmm. Another thing is maybe family. It's always nice to come back home to family, because in Denmark we didn't have any family. But then at the same time, you create your own culture when you're away, and then you come back to family and they expect it to be the same way as it's always been, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like breaking out of those expectations that everyone has for you is super hard, but very necessary.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe they, the family, maybe they think of you as you're always the little son.
The little baby,
you know?
Yeah. And I still like, sometimes I feel like it's very hard to be taken seriously or,
Yeah, so. I agree with you. And I can also say that in my case, although I am a grandmother now to my parents, because I have been living without them for 33 years, for them, every time I see my parents, just like that, I'm just a baby. And I'm like, you know?
You're like, hello, I'm a grandparent.
Yeah, I'm a grandma now. Can I ask you, before we take a little break, what are the ups and downs in being in a mixed marriage, and how do you both work out the differences?
Yeah.
Well, I think especially for us, we had like a hard beginning or a tough beginning to our relationship. And yeah, I think we had to grow a lot and learn a lot. Like, I feel like when we had been married for like 2 or 3 years, we'd already learned like what others experienced in 10 years or something. And so it's a lot of things that we had to get through. But yeah, I mean,
I think also because I, you know, she speaks very good English. She even has an American accent, and there's another American married into the family. So I think we both assumed that we would understand each other because we have experience in each other's cultures. And that couldn't be further than the truth, because like we would say something and totally just misunderstand each other. So we had to like, just create a patience and grace for each other's way of communicating. And yeah, like I said, the first 3 years was super tough. But like if we, before when we would get into an argument, I think we would ignore each other for some days and just go through the motions.
I think we once didn't talk for 14 days.
14 days. Yeah. It was like,
and
whoa.
And that's not good.
No, not at all.
Believe me, it's also not unusual without giving away too much of my marriage.
But now, like, for I think 90% of our arguments, we like get over it within the hour and just.
Yeah. I think it's super important to understand each other's whys. Like, why am I so strong on this opinion, or why do I need it to be that way, or something like that. So if you can understand the why of the other person, then you, like, it's easier to at least figure out a middle point or something. Mm-hmm.
That's true. And you have no idea how many people you're helping right now, because it's so wonderful to be able to talk, because we know that it's not perfect because, for example, you know, my dad is a pastor, so when he should marry somebody and he would tell, have you ever had an argument? And they would say, oh, no, we love each other. We never had an argument. And he would say, go home, first argue, and then come back if you're still together.
Wow. You know,
because it's very important that people know each other before getting into. And I always say, I don't know what you guys think about it, but if somebody says the marriage is perfect, when you're especially from the mixed cultures, then somebody in the marriage is suffering, you know, because...
Wow, that's so true.
Yeah. But anyway, again, guys, I'm not a marriage counselor.
You could be.
No,
thank
right?
you. But these are just thoughts, you know. So we are going to take another break. And when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit more about your family back in...
sounds good.
Yeah, USA, and Sana, about your experiences in America with... Manuel's family, and then we'll take it from there.
The sky spills over.
Well, Sana, have you met Manuel's family, and how was your experience being around his cultures and lifestyle?
Be nice.
Be nice. Yes, I met them, and they are a lovely bunch. We were already married when I met them, so they couldn't like disapprove of me. Yes, they're very nice and sweet people, all of them. They're very like lively and not like my family, not Faroese. I mean, my family is liveliest as well, but just not in the Latin way. And it was really nice to be with them. We went there for like 7 weeks or something like that. So every time we go, we try and stay for as long as we can.
Yeah.
And of course, there are things that we do very differently. And we also already had our firstborn, Dahlia, when I met them the first time. So there was like, they got a new baby in the family because of our baby. And it's exciting to be a grandma and everything, grandfather and everything again. But we do things in our way, and we already had our family culture, how we do things. And it's very different. Like just like medication, for instance.
Yeah.
It's very different there and here. We take as little as possible. And in the States, they have something for everything. And so those Glory. Little clashes there are always happening. But I mean, just have to
communicate
it and just say like, oh yeah, but we do it this way. And but at the same time, I have to let them also be grandparents in the way that they want to be.
Yeah, so. That's great advice, actually, if many people are listening, because just to meet halfway or something like that. But I understand you totally in the medicine. If I just called my mother just to say, you know, she's just having a little fever, and then it's like, give her that, give her this, you know, so totally. But I always took it like they cared,
yeah.
You know, at least they cared.
Exactly.
And were there any cultural differences that you found hard to adapt to?
When we were over there?
Yeah.
One big thing was having the kids sleep outside. Because that's something we do.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh my goodness.
Especially our, yeah, I mean, I guess all of the kids had a hard time sleeping inside, but they loved sleeping outside in the daytime. And I remember we went to the States. We only had two kids at the time. And Manu and I went on a missions trip an hour away from the parents' house. And our kids were with the parents for 14 days without us. that was exciting. And our younger one, he slept outside every day.
Okay.
And that's really, that was something new to them. And I had to come and like show them how I put him to sleep. And but the mom was super nervous and you can't put the kids outside and all these things, but they were in the backyard. They were safe.
Well, my dad would go for walks.
Yeah. Your dad would go for a walk with him every day. And so it was nice.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to see them actually try and do the things that we normally do. And then there's like, you eat a lot more fast food in the States than we do. And when we let them be with them for 14 days, they did that. And I had to be okay with that, you know? And,
yeah.
And
detox when you came back.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's fine. If I lived there, I'd probably say, please don't eat. Like, we won't eat fast food all the time, but they were with their parents or his parents, and they were having fun. Mm-hmm. And they were enjoying getting to know each other and stuff. So
that's actually great advice already. I was going to ask you for advice, but a great thing that you said, that it's so important to also allow the other people to be grandparents and family. Mm-hmm. Manuel, did you find anything? Did you find hard to adjust to anything here in Faroe Islands, so regarding the culture or food? Or also, I wanted to ask, you know, the third day after I came to Faroe Islands, they were like, Thosa the first, do you speak Faroese? And it's like, I just got here. So I don't know if you experienced anything.
I mean, yeah, of course, the food. But I try and show, because I like spicy. I like it to be, you know, and so I always have my hot sauces in the fridge.
Yeah.
But I try to always taste it a few times before, and I say, that's good. And then I'll drown it with my hot sauce.
Yeah, I know.
But I don't know. Like I'm pretty like
easygoing
when it comes to experiencing cultures, I suppose. And I think I was ready, but
And it was a mild introduction because you first were in Denmark and then France.
The weather mm-hmm. has provoked me a few times. And I have to admit, I'm not the type that gets like depressed mm-hmm. over weather. But this past winter, and maybe it's just with age, I have no idea. But this winter of all winters, I was so low on energy mm-hmm. and I didn't fall into like a type of depression or anything, but I just really, it was a heavy winter for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe because we have more on our plate, it could be a combination of things, but I am truly missing the sunny weather from California.
Me
I can
too.
Say that.
I mean,
sure.
I just simply can't believe, you just said that because I'm looking at Peter because I even wrote on my Facebook status, after being here for 33 years, this winter I had enough.
Wow.
So there was something about this winter. It's just like, you know, you just couldn't go out even for a fresh air or something like that. It's not the depression. It's just like, you know, the darkness and the wind and the weather.
But I mean, because I've worked with youth in Denmark mm-hmm. and here, and the constant struggles they have compared to the rest of the world is it's just so dark. It's so gloomy. And the motivation to do things is just not there during the winter time here.
True.
And you have to work so hard to keep them motivated through the season. And this year, I needed someone to motivate me. What's going on here?
You are absolutely right. And many people have thought the same. Even the Faroese, I think, have had enough this winter.
Yeah.
You guys do a lot of things together and enjoy life in a fun way that people who know you, they know that you are doing a lot of activities together. Is there anything you wish can be done more here in Faroe Islands for families from different backgrounds or different cultures?
Mm.
Do you feel that there are enough activities and enough things to go to?
I mean, there's not enough even for Faroese families.
I think Playland or like amusement park inside, indoor, of course, would be great. And then like one thing, a big thing that we've noticed also in Denmark is the cartoons mm-hmm. And going to the movies. Our kids speak English and Faroese, mm-hmm. but they don't understand Danish that well because we watch cartoons in English at home because we try and teach them English. And most of the cartoons in the cinema is in Danish. So that's one thing that maybe is not so amazing for people, English speaking people and family.
Yeah, that's really true, actually, because there are more and more children who speak English and families who speak English at home. So maybe it's time also to change a little bit along with, you know, the country changing. To end the program with, I would like to ask, what advice would you give to other people in an international marriage or families?
I would say, you need to, there's like, you know how that, I guess it's a scripture. It says be slow to speak, quick to listen and slow to speak. I think you should be like quick to embrace and slow to react here as an international person, whatever reason why you're here. We can be so quick to complain. And then we use up all of our energy to complain about the things that we don't have instead of embracing the things that you do have and build on those. That's anywhere, nice. But especially here, because like we said, it was really hard to create relationships here. And I've worked with the commune a few times on some different, like, you know, what can we do better in the workforce? What can we do better in the local commune, for example? Finally, the communes are thinking about making their websites in Faroese and English. I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
They should have done that a long time ago. And then also other awareness things, like if you're having a hard time, if you're a very introvert person, for example, join a sports club. If you're join a knitting club, join one of these clubs because Faroese are very hospitable, but they're also extremely introvert. But if there's a reason to talk, they have no problem talking. They're very friendly people, mm-hmm. very loving people, and they embrace you. But there kind of has to be some common ground. So if you are at a workshop for knitting or for embroidery or for whatever it can be, then you have a common ground. It's easier to talk, and then they embrace you like no other. So yeah, be quick to embrace and slow to react.
Yeah, and you were also mentioning during the break that you were doing something with the kimono.
Yeah, that was these like awareness things on, you know, what are some important things for foreigners to be involved with or to like use their energy on, and it's like join clubs, learn the language. You don't have to be comfortable with speaking it, but you do have to be comfortable with understanding it.
Yeah.
Because most Faroese, they can speak basic English and Danish, if you know Danish. But they want you to understand them.
True.
So, and then you don't always have to ask for translation. You can understand what's going on with the news or what people are saying to you when you're going into a shop or a bank. Just learn to understand the language.
Yeah, at least to show some effort, and so they mm-hmm. feel like you are trying. That's true. Did I interrupt you?
No, okay. No, I don't think so.
Sana, do you have anything to add before we...
Well, in a mixed culture mm-hmm. relationship, I think it's really important to listen to each other's limits, because if there's a subject and someone's really large on that subject and the other person is kind of like has their limits, then I think it's important to listen to the one that has the limits that go or don't reach as far as the other one.
Yeah.
So that you don't cross boundaries or cross the other's limits.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one.
I think also we've learned to do purposeful outings as a family. Mm-hmm. So that way the kids don't always pay the price. Oh, Papa has to go do this. He's never home. Mama's got to do that. But we do things together or we take them with us.
Mm-hmm.
So family is, in our opinion, priority. Like, mm-hmm. why should you venture off to do other things when everything else back at home is broken?
True.
So, like, have a healthy home to go to and yeah. everything else will flourish from that.
Well, I feel like even paying you for this program because it's really great advices, guys. Thank you so much. You have really, really helped a lot of people out there by being open. And thank you so much. For, you know, 1 hour flies by.
Yeah.
But now it seems like you will have to get a babysitter because we have a gift for you.
What?
And this is Katrina Christensen. They've been so generous in giving gift card for the couples that we are interviewing. So this
nice.
Is a gift card for both of you to enjoy Umm Salam's Church. Have you ever
nice.
Tried it?
No. I actually haven't been there yet.
Oh, haven't you?
I need to go there. I always want to. You guys, you went with the kids to get waffles in the Christmas
time.
Oh,
yeah. I love that place.
And I couldn't go.
So
yes. That's for you.
Thank you,
thank you so
very
much.
Much.
Enjoy it.
Yes.
And yeah, we wish you all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, we didn't want to let you go empty-handed. And to you who have been listening to this program, hope you enjoyed the show. This program will be replayed tomorrow at 9 a.m. and we'll post the link shortly afterwards. I'll be back next Monday with another couple. Till then, goodbye and take care.